Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Easy Conversations podcast, a podcast about having easy conversations. This is the first episode of 2024, so welcome. This is a podcast where we talk about mental health, adversity, spirituality, and societal issues. I'm your host, Furkan Dandia. And join me in this week's powerful episode as I sit down with the resilient and inspiring Shannon Mondor. In a candid and deeply personal conversation, Shannon bravely shares her journey through the harrowing depths of alcoholism and mental illness, a path that was paved by the shadows of generational trauma that she inherited. Shannon unveils the intricate layers of her struggles, revealing how the weight of a genetic blueprint of addiction had haunted her family for generations. As she recounts the challenges she faced, listeners will gain insight into the impact of generational trauma on mental health and well-being. Throughout the episode, Shannon sheds light on the moments of despair, but also on the glimmers of hope that ultimately guided her towards the path of recovery. Her story becomes a testament to the strength of the human spirit and the resilience it takes to break free from the chains of addiction and mental health challenges. Shannon Mondor is a best-selling author, podcast host, public speaker, and mindset and manifesting coach. She created Fulfillment and Faith to teach others to have faith in themselves, which is the foundation to having fulfillment in every area of their lives. Shannon overcame her past and used her experience to empower herself to change. She now uses the knowledge she gained to help others release their past and find greatness within to live in confidence, strength, and freedom. Her passion is to teach as many individuals as possible how to create a life they love. Please check out the show notes for all the ways you can find Shannon online, including her podcast, which is Fulfillment in Faith. Please leave a review or a comment in the comment section at the end of the episode. I would truly appreciate it. Brief word for our sponsors. One thing that's really helped my mental health is a daily routine. Every morning after doing some breathing exercises and cold exposure, I like a smooth cup of coffee. I've been drinking Four Sigmatics coffee for the last 3 years, and it's been very beneficial for my routine. I especially like their Lion's Mane and Chaga Mushrooms coffee, which helps me with my mental focus and energy every morning. Four Sigmatic is on a mission to infuse functional mushrooms into the foods and supplements people love and use daily. Their goal is to enrich minds and improve well-being. By pairing Lion's Mane with coffee for focus or reishi with cacao for a sense of calm, their brews, blends, and powders get everyone in a good headspace so they can focus on what matters most. Check out Four Sigmatic and use the code EASYCONVERSATIONS, all one word, at checkout for 10% off your order. So I would like to talk about deodorants because I'm tired of constantly replenishing my deodorant and then having to worry about disposing those plastic containers. There's a solution for that. Wild. Wild provides a eco-friendly, all-natural deodorant with a sustainable design. They provide a for-life aluminum case. For me, they sent me a personalized case with my name on it. And did I mention you can customize your orders and have these refills delivered straight to your door? This is an all-natural solution where there's no aluminum in the product, just in the case. Go to wearewild.com and use code EASY at checkout for 25% off your first order. All right, Shannon, welcome to the Easy Conversations podcast. Thank you for joining me tonight. I'm really, really excited. I've had the honor of being on your podcast and we've talked a few times and I know we're going to be neighbors soon. So this is all very exciting and I'm really grateful that you've decided to come on here and have this conversation with me. But before we get into our conversation, which I'm I'm sure is going to be enriching and insightful. I do want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to the listeners today and share a little bit about who you are, what it is that you do, and what's brought you here.
Well, thank you. So first off, I want to say thank you for having me a guest on your podcast. So this is an absolute joy and a pleasure. So I want to thank you. Well, a little bit about me. Oh, jeepers, where shall I start? So my name is Shannon Mondor. I live in Alberta, Canada. I am a motivational speaker and I am going in. I'm so excited to share this with everybody. I am going in for my TED Talk and it's going to be in Las Vegas. So that is a very huge accomplishment for me. It's something that I've been working towards and now it has become a reality for me. I am a transformational mentor and what I do is I help people to transform their lives. Sure. I am a best-selling published author. And I'm in the process right now of actually converting my book into an audio book. I also have my own podcast, Fulfillment in Faith. And I'm working on my passion project, which is called You Are Not the Only One. So I speak with people literally from all over the world. And they share their times of stillness and how they have been divinely guided to where they are now today. Just exactly like me, following my path. That was actually quite a bit about me, but from where I was to where I am now, my life has totally shifted and changed, and I am not the person that I was because I was addicted to alcohol for many, many, many years, and I came from a family of addiction as well. So, yeah, that's who Shannon Mondor is.
Well, thank you for sharing all that. And it sounds like you've got a lot on the go, but you've gone all in to this space. You're
absolutely
all it. Yeah. And you're making an impact in this world. So that's why, you know, I think a lot of these opportunities are coming your way. And that is something I'm sure we'll get into as we continue with this conversation. But you kind of talked about where it started for you, right? And you've shared that story with me, but there's a lot of things that have stuck out to me in terms of the story you've shared, and I hope the listeners get something out of that too. But often we feel like, you know, the past is who we are. We get stuck or, you know, there's that shackle there. And it becomes very hard for people to change that version of themselves or that identity because they become so attached to it. And I think for a lot of people, even the clients I work with, when they are making that conscious effort, the first time they have that resistance or moment of adversity, it's easy for them to go back to that default mode. They're like, oh, nothing's going to work for me because this is who I am. I've always been like this. So, yeah. So just kind of with that in mind, I do want to understand where did things start for you? Because you say, you know, there's a huge influence perhaps from the family. But what allowed you to break free from that?
So, see, I just want to say a slight little point to what you had said, you know, where people will go back, you know, they'll go backwards. That's their normal, right? They go into that default mode because that's where they feel safe, even though they're hurt beyond belief. That's their safety. That's their safety net. That's what they're accustomed to. And so when I woke up on August 17th of 2019, that was the day that I decided totally and completely that I was never going to drink alcohol ever again. And that was the day that I really started to really shift my perspective. And that was also the day that I actually realized what my identity was, because I had lived my whole entire life where alcohol, mental illness, and abuse was normalized because that was the environment that I was brought up in. So it doesn't matter if you're brought up in a happy environment, that's your normal. And many families are brought, many individuals are brought up in that environment. My normal was the abuse, the drug addiction, all of that. That was my normal. And it wasn't until, you know, I got into more of my adolescent years where I started to see contrast. And what I mean by contrast is people, you know, get to know friends and being invited over to friends' houses. And then I'm starting to see what their lifestyles are like. So that's my contrast. And I'm realizing like their normal is so different than what my normal is. But it's also growing up in that environment. And when I woke up on August 17th, that was when I really realized that that identity that I carried, my identity was I was dumb, I was ugly, I was stupid, I was never going to amount to anything. I was told that my whole entire life from my abuser, which was my oldest brother. So that was drilled into me my entire life. And as you get older, and those belief systems, which were drilled into me over and over and over. And all of us, we have these belief systems of whatever they may be, right? Your personality develops around that. So my personality was that. Mm-hmm. So when I got into my teenage years, that was when the beginning of my people pleasing, because I didn't have any, I didn't value myself at all, right? I was filled with anxiety. I had depression, really bad chronic depression in grade 12, and suicidal, very suicidal, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, but it wasn't until my later years when I totally quit drinking was when I realized, no way. It clicked into me because I looked at my life at a totally different perspective because I no longer looked at my life as if it was my life. I looked at my life as a story, because if you really look at everybody's life, it's just one big story. Mm-hmm. And you can change it at any point in time.
Yeah.
So that's what I did that day, is I flipped the page. I was starting a whole new chapter, because yeah. I was now four generations of addiction in my family, because it was my father. Then it was like me and all my siblings. Then it went into my nieces and nephews. And it's now leaked into my great nieces and nephews. So I was looking at my personal story, and I was going to turn the page, and I was going to become the main character now. Because before I was just a character, because I was letting everybody else dictate who I was.
Right. Right.
But no more. I was going to be the star. I was going to be the main character. Because I'm looking at my life and I'm thinking the only person that can stop this addiction cycle is me, because I'm looking at my four beautiful children and I'm thinking, oh my God, what I was doing was I was creating that whole chaotic life that I had growing up for them. And why the hell would I want to do that?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, so it was time for me to change things. It was time for me to take ownership and responsibility of who I was. And it took me 50 years to do that.
Yeah.
50 years. That's a hell of a long time. And that's why I'm so passionate, you know, now with what I do and helping people, you know, do that, you know, transformation, you know, transform their lives. Do not wait the 50 years like I did. Don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. And that's what it was. I had taken on my brother's identity, because all those things he was telling me for all of those years was what he truly believed about himself. Mm-hmm. But go a little bit further. He had taken on my father's identity. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not only a cycle of addiction, it's also a cycle of identity.
Right.
Right? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. And you know, there's a few things to explore there. I do want to highlight, you know, that generational trauma is real, right? And
yes.
You're choosing to break that cycle so your kids don't have to deal with it. And that alone is powerful, right? Because you're putting an end to something that's been going on, as you said, for perhaps generations. And it may continue to go on, especially with your nieces and nephews, as you're highlighting. The other two really key words you said, and those are what I try to teach clients and I try to remind myself too, and we often lose sight of, is ownership and responsibility, right? Yes. And I think, you know, a lot of people in today's society, philosophers or teachers and saints, all talk about taking responsibility for your life, but something doesn't click for people, right? What does that responsibility mean? So just to help us understand, like, what was it like for you taking that responsibility? What did that mean for you?
Well, I really had to look at my life. And you know what? I was no angel. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lot of people that I hurt along my journey. So I had to take total and complete responsibility for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always that cause and effect.
Yeah.
And when you see that, and that's a universal law, the law of cause and effect. It's no different than, you know, law of attraction or law of vibration, you know. And that's another thing that I teach within my transformational courses as well, is all these different universal laws. So, but it was the self-awareness of that too, is knowing that, yes, I did a lot of shitty things to a lot of people out there. And of course, anybody that's, you know, has addiction, oh my God, we are the best blamers out there. And we feel so sorry for ourselves. It's like, no way. You did this to yourself. You have to really see that, you know, yeah, there are some things that you can't control.
Right.
And you do get to a point in your life and it's like, okay, you're old enough to start taking control of your life now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the awareness. And I had that awareness because believe me, I was in such denial, number one, and I was in such blame. I blamed others for so many other things, right? But then, of course, that was me being in my feel sorry mode.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what? When I wake up, it's like, no, like this, it's got to stop. In order for me to stop it, this is where I have to step up to the plate now.
Right. And yeah, and like you said, the blame, you know, it's easy to blame because then we don't have to take responsibility and that just becomes like, a cycle, right?
It's the easy way out is what it is.
It is easy, but it's not rewarding in the long term, right? And people people will take the blame because they, you know, they may feel bad, but then after a while you start losing everyone. Then you have nobody to blame.
But people that have an addiction too, there's a certain aspect within you that if you lay blame on others and if you talk about it, there's always going to be someone that wants to hear that because people love to hear trash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So, and that's the easiest thing to keep on talking and talking and talking and talking about, because there's always going to be an ear. There's always going to be an opinion. Right. But just as soon as you start taking ownership of things, it's funny how when you start to speak your truth, people don't like to hear people's truths.
Right.
And it's so funny because once you start speaking your truth and you start taking your responsibility, all those people around you, then they know that they have to start speaking their truth as well. And people don't like to do that.
Right. Right.
So when they see you change, that forces them to change and they don't want to change. So that's where the separation happens. And boundaries are set,
right?
You know, like I'm a big, strong tree. And that's how I talk to my clients. You are a big, strong, beautiful tree. And every season, there's going to be leaves that come in that grow, which are people. Mm-hmm. And as you grow, all these leaves are going to fall off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the next season comes along because you're becoming more aware and, you know, you're growing and you're becoming more vibrant. You're becoming more happy. And all of a sudden, all these buds start happening and all these people come in again, right? And you're learning from them and they're learning from you. And then that season is done and then all these people fall off again. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, there's a few things again, just to kind of touch on there, you know, because a lot of times with addiction, and I've done some research on Alcoholics Anonymous, And one of the things is changing your environment, right? Because often it's the environment and the people that reinforce that behavior. So in your case, you know, when you're making that change, sometimes you have to look around. You're like, okay, are these people serving me? Or are they going to be a part of the life I'm trying to build for myself? Are they going to be reinforcing that person I want to embody? But at the same time, as you said, often there's like friction because now you're speaking your truth. So you're holding up a mirror for them, and the truth makes everyone uncomfortable, right? If you're not ready to live it.
And I'm going to be honest with you, like with me in particular, I had to change my life 100%.
Yeah.
There is not one person on my side of the family that I've kept in my life. Like there's not one. Mm-hmm. And even on my husband's side of the family, I had to totally break all barriers, and I have nothing to do with him anymore because people don't want to know the truth. I was an embarrassment to so many people because I spoke my truth of my addiction. Mm-hmm. And people didn't like that because then that made their truths become a reality that they wanted to continue being in denial about. Another thing as well, too, is they were so worried about what other people would think. Oh, my gosh, Shannon wrote a book about her addiction and she's speaking her truths. What are people going to say to me about her addiction? Oh, my God. Who gives a shit? This is my life.
Yeah.
What is it to you guys? Yeah. You guys should be embracing me. You guys should be happy for me. It was the exact opposite.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's okay because I had to praise and release them. And I have never been more happier in my entire life. Yep. And that also made room for all of these wonderful, amazing people that are now in my life that do truly support and love me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the way it goes, right? Like, I think part of that journey does feel lonely at times because you are cutting and losing people. But I think, like I said earlier, you have to remind yourself, and I've had to do that too. I've had to change social circles and, and I don't mean to like be judgmental. It's just, I don't want to be where they are and maybe it's just not serving me and I'm not serving them. It's just better sometimes, right? Like, and people do come into your life for a season and that could depend. It could be years, could be months.
Yeah.
And you have to realize that, and be mindful of it. At the other thing, as you were saying, you know, for other people, how uncomfortable they were getting with your book or your truth. I like to constantly remind myself, because it does make things a little bit easier, that often we judge others based on what we don't like about ourselves, right?
And absolutely.
And anytime I'm receiving that, I try to remind myself not to take it personally, because perhaps there's something going on for the other person. It has nothing to do with me.
Right.
Being honest, me wanting to change, it's not personal. But how have you been able to kind of now, you know, you've said like you had to make a lot of changes. You had to change your life 100%. How was that process? Like, did you, you know, you gave a date, you woke up one day, but was it that day or was it over a period of time where you were making these wholesale changes?
Well, see, I got a little, prior to that, I was in treatment. About almost 2 years prior to that date, I was in treatment. So that, and I was in a treatment center in Nanaimo, BC, which is like one of the top treatment centers in Canada. And I want the listeners to know that going into a treatment center was the best thing I could have ever done because that was the beginning of my journey. I totally embraced it. There was no shame I felt about going to a treatment center at all. And that's a sad thing. Society looks at people that go to a treatment center as something bad. And it's not. It's the complete opposite. Mm. Like if you've got a brain injury, do you not go get treatment for your brain injury? You know, it's just like it's the same thing.
Right.
People look at that as shameful, but yet they look at going to a treatment center as something that's shameful. No way. Not at all. There are so many things that I learned within me going to that treatment center. Like I had no idea that addiction was, you know, generational. I had no idea. I was in denial of so many things that were happening within my life. And I had no clue. Like it was a huge eye opener. And yeah, when I was in there, that was time for me to really get to know who I was or the beginning steps. And there was a lot of breakdowns, but in order to have breakthroughs, you got to have a lot of breakdowns.
Absolutely.
And that's for everybody because, you know, at that time, how old was I? I'm thinking, you know, at that time when I went into treatment, I was probably about 47 years old. And like you think about it, 47 years of suppressed emotions that are locked within your body.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to happen overnight. So then, you know, when I got out of the treatment center, I was good for about a year because I could control my environment. right? I could pick and choose who I wanted to be around me. If I didn't want to be around something, I could just walk away, whatever it was, right? And I was home all the time, and I no longer was around people that drank and, you know. And then it was a year after that I was in treatment. I was at a family wedding down in New York, and I was no longer in a controlled environment anymore. And then I started having triggers, and then the anxiety kicked in, and then childhood memories of abandonment and all this stuff started to kick in, right? And I didn't know what was going on, so I ended up drinking. And I drank again for about another year and a half, somewhere in there. And it was just the craziest thing ever. So it wasn't like I just shifted immediately. Right. I had these tools that I learned within the treatment center. So I was becoming aware, right? But then when I did quit drinking totally and completely, that was when I really started to dive deep into personal development, right? Because I was always, oh my gosh, I always loved personal development and mindset and manifesting and all of that, right? And I've been doing that for years, practicing reading from all these different mentors. You know, that would be, I'll give you an example of like Louise Hay or, you know, Deepak Chopra, Dr. Wayne Dyer. You know, I'd even been to conferences and you know, different things like that, you know, fly across Canada to go to be a part of these, right? Because I just loved these speakers. But the one thing that I didn't realize until I became sober was I always did the development aspect of things earlier in my life when things are going fantastic, mm-hmm. right? Oh, geez, like I'm on a high and life is going great. And of course, it's easy to manifest things and have such a joyful life and everything comes to you when things are great. But I didn't realize that when I really needed it the most was when my life was going to shit, you know?
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, okay. So that also gave me that perspective and self-awareness as well, mm-hmm. which was a huge thing. And that's what really got me diving in deep, because then I could control my thinking. I could control my habits. I became aware of my actions, thoughts, feelings, emotions. I would realize what my dominant feeling is. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, I'm in a really shitty mood here. Before, I would just sit in it, be like, okay, yeah, I'm in a shitty mood. But now, because I was becoming more aware of, you know, my environment, everything about me, I was getting to know who I was. It was like, okay, I don't like this feeling that's happening inside of me. What are these feelings and emotions coming from? Why am I acting like this? What's triggering me? You know, I started to get really curious. And I could know I didn't want to go numb my pain anymore. It was like, no, Shannon, you're going to get this shit out of you. So let's sit with yourself and figure it out. Mm. And then go through the feelings and the emotions. And yeah. That's it. Right?
Yeah.
It was also guided, you know, like I got back into like listening to the podcasts of my mentors and started taking courses again. And I started watching YouTube. Like, these are things that I did on a daily basis. Like I literally dedicated myself to this. And that's what you have to do.
Of course.
You have to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not overnight, like you said, because the conditioning was there for 40 plus years at that time. And it takes a while to work through a lot of those autopilot mechanisms, right? We're just always on autopilot. So yeah. And I think one of the things there to understand is you were into that personal development side of things, but you weren't really implementing it. So it was kind of like, and then you had to go through that process, right?
For absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But you have to have that awareness first.
Yes.
You know, that self-awareness and you, another huge thing for me too, was when I quit drinking, it was like, what do I want to be, Shannon? Like, this is your chance. Like, what is it that you want to be? And the biggest thing that I wanted to be was I wanted to be a good mother. I wanted to be a mentor for my children. That was huge for me because I had been screwing up for how many years because of my drinking and everything else, right? And it was like, okay, so what are your hopes and dreams? What are your aspirations? You know, where do you want to go in life? And so it was during those times of when I was slowly starting to set my healthy boundaries, we had talked about those times of loneliness. Those were actually gifts because that really gave me a chance to really see where my life was going. You know, what did I want to do? What did I want to accomplish? And then, of course, COVID hit, you know. And I was well, by this time, I had already quit drinking for a year. And I was already working on myself. And then I'm starting to see all the shit happen around me. Same thing as you, you know, like everybody's drinking their faces off, you know, skyrocketing alcohol sales, domestic abuse is just skyrocketing. People are starting to commit suicide. And I'm looking at everybody and I'm thinking, holy shit, like, you know, because 99% of us don't even like ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So when we're brought into that time of stillness, like what happened in COVID, we have to sit. You can't communicate with people. You can't run away anymore. So what are you left with? You're left with yourself. And that was on my journey. And I'm starting to love myself, right? I'm like, oh yeah, like this is, you know, and I'm seeing all this happening around me. And I'm like, wow, wow. And that was what I was like, if there's one thing that I can possibly do, what can I do? Because I'm starting to see, you know, people homeschooling their children like me, and they're videoing, and they're having their kids pour their wine for them as the moms are videoing them, and they're thinking it's all funny. And I'm looking at these mothers, and I'm thinking, you guys are nothing but a bunch of effing idiots, because you have no idea what you're creating. Society all on its own is just becoming a disaster when it comes to, you know, pushing alcohol and all of this, right? Yeah. And now these mothers are normalizing this for the children at home. And they're making videos of it. And what they're doing is they're creating another generation of addiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was when I started to put videos out about my thoughts, feelings, and emotions, because I was going through things as well, right? And I thought if there was just one person that I could actually help that's going through the same thing, maybe they can take my advice of what I'm going through. And then I started doing quotes and everything on a daily basis. And then, you know, this is March. By December, I've got like a huge following and people are like, oh my God, Shannon, like you're such an inspiration. And, but yet they're thinking I've got my shit together and they don't know my story at all. Like I'm just as screwed up as everybody else. Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're all figuring it out, right? And it's interesting because, yeah, COVID, I think, opened up a lot of people to things that perhaps weren't going right. And it pushed people to the other side. I think a lot of people came out on both ends. For me, initially, it was very much the same towards the end of it. The initial stages were rough. And I think, as you mentioned earlier, for me, it was this aspect of sitting alone without being distracted. And that was very difficult. And I think part of it for me was I'd never done it before. Right. And I had to overcompensate because I was like, well, I can't do this. Like, I can't just sit at home. And I think as I came out of COVID and over the last couple of years, I've really appreciated the gift of solitude. And I know you talk about stillness and we've talked about this whole aspect of stillness and solitude. And it's really your only opportunity to sit with yourself. And as you mentioned, you know, think about what are your thoughts, your beliefs, your feelings, where are they coming from? And we don't take that time to sit with ourselves. And you said we don't like ourselves, but I think there's also an aspect of discomfort around what may come up. It's the same idea where people get uncomfortable with the truth, because the truth that's really coming out, right? The things you need to pay attention to that you're basically disguising or wearing a mask all day.
I actually just did a masterclass just the other day, and that was brought up because some of the women, you know, they're talking about how right now they're so lonely. And I had said to them, this is the time that you need to embrace all of this. Because when you are in your stillness, that's when you are getting the divine guidance. So you're going to get an intuitive hit or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
This is the times that you really, really get to know who you are as an individual. And that's actually a gift that's been given to you. And a lot of these women on my masterclass, they're still in the process of addiction and that as well. And I had said too, that when you get to the point where I am, and I said, you women will get there. Right now, you are so full of shame. You don't value yourselves. You don't love yourself. I said, but I guarantee you, if you start to sit more into your stillness, listen to what you are being divinely guided with, you are going to look at your past like how I do. Yeah. That all of this that happened is actually a gift. Yeah. It really is a gift from God, because I had to go through that whole entire process to get where I am today. And now I'm helping thousands of people by me speaking publicly about everything from my past. Because there are so many people that have gone through the exact same, that are going through the exact same thing that I went through. But I can speak openly about it. And that's where it's like, they're thinking, oh my God, I am not the only one. No, you're not the only one. It's just that I'm brave enough and, you know, to speak publicly about it. Because I had all those hours of silence.
Right. Right.
You know? And the more you speak about it, the more you get more comfortable, you know? And to me, this is just who I am. It's who I am.
Right.
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 It's all a part of the journey.
Well, and I think you being vulnerable makes it easier for others to feel like they're not alone. Right. And I think there's that aspect of vulnerability that's so powerful, because it takes, you know, we often in our imaginations create something so massive based on our personal adversity or whatever we've gone through. We make it such a big thing, but everyone's going through something in their own way.
And then
you put it on the table, it's not this monster anymore, right?
And I got to say, like, it was funny when I started talking in the masterclass, because I had talked a lot about, you know, my past, my adolescence, my identity. And I was teaching these women about how, you know, their past, they carried an identity of somebody else. Mm-hmm. And as I started talking and I was giving examples of my life, and then I was like, okay, women, like, you know, start speaking up. If you feel that you need to start speaking, well, let me tell you, there was just so many full-blown conversations going throughout that whole masterclass. And that was the thing that I said to them at the very end, because I said, how do you women all feel? And they were just like, this was the best thing ever. Because I had brought forth a comfortable environment for them to talk in. And that was something that they never had. Mm-hmm. I think that was probably the first time that they could actually speak openly and not feel shame.
Yeah.
Because that's what I said to them. You are not your addiction. Mm-hmm. You're not your addiction.
Right. Right.
And they really got it. They understood that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And along those lines, you know, from the beginning when we kind of started this conversation, one of the things I wanted to dive into was this aspect of reality, right? We all have our own inner realities that we get caught up in, and it distorts our worldview, and we just assume that this is how life is going to be. But there's nothing preventing us from changing that reality. It's all a choice. We can make a choice, right? Like, just like you've made certain choices that have led you here, you could have made other choices that have probably kept you on the same path that you were on before. And we all make conscious choices in a way that can truly change our reality and the world we live in. And that's where I think, you know, you're alluding to the idea of, well, we're not our past, because we can make a choice today that can change our direction in life. And then the past is, like you said earlier, it's a lesson. It was this form of school that we went through. And now we have all these opportunities from those lessons to make different choices and change the direction of our lives.
See, and you speaking about that, I had an extreme light bulb moment, because I was at probably one of the loneliest times in my life, because this was after I wrote my book. Yeah. And then that was when I found out who was really there for me and who wasn't, right? And you know what? You know who was left for me? Was my husband and my four children, and I had two friends. Everybody else was gone. So I was at a huge crossroads in my life, and I was thinking to myself, oh my God, did I make the right decision? Did I make the right decision? Like, and I was so sad. Like, I was probably at the lowest time of my life because someone had said to me, I sure hope that you can handle the consequences of what you've done. That was said to me after I wrote my book. And I was beyond floored. I was so taken back because I couldn't believe that that individual had said that to me. And I was shocked because I was thinking, what did I do? What did I do? I told my truth. I freed myself. And so what? I'm being punished. I'm being punished for freeing myself from my addiction. And I was like, wow, like this is freaking crazy, right? Like, and anybody, well, anybody would feel the same way that I did. But then after I had to set all these healthy boundaries and everything, I was brought to my moment of stillness then, right? And, you know, I'm looking around at the world, literally around me, and I'm thinking like, oh my God, you know, like, did I make a mistake? But then I had that pivotal moment where I was like, oh my gosh, a huge light bulb moment went off. And I'm like, this is why people that are in the situation that I was will actually, because they don't want to be lonely, they'll go back to their old life is what they do.
Yeah.
So I had a choice, right? I could either go back to my old life, right? So I would become a people person again, right? I would become a chameleon. Everybody else would love that because then they don't have to change anymore. They can go back to what they, you know, what they've always done.
Right.
I know I would start drinking again because I can't stand myself and I can't stand these people around me, right? Because of all the people-pleasing shit I'd done for years. And then I know damn well I would have put myself right back at that state of being suicidal again. And I probably would have killed myself, yeah. Right? And so I'm just like, holy shit, like no way am I going back there. And then I started to get really angry and I'm like, no damn way. No, I've been there. I've done that. And where did it get me? It got me freaking nowheres. Mm-hmm. So that was where I really stood up to the plate. And I'm like, no way. That was when I really started to take my power back. Or, well, discover my power, not take my power back, discover who I really was. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing this. I'm going to start living my life the way that I am meant to live my life.
Yeah.
We're put on this earth to be creators, to be happy, to be joyful, to have everything that we want.
Yeah.
It's not about what everybody else wants or thinks. It's about what we want and think that matters.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean,
well, absolutely.
We're a vessel of love. That's how I look at it. And if we can't fill our cup first, we can't really do anything for anyone else because we're pouring from an empty cup. And, you know, if we have that love for ourselves and we look at ourselves that, hey, I need to take care of myself. I need to take responsibility for myself. And then we're in a position of giving, right? We're emitting that light onto others, but we can't do that if we don't have that light within us. And one of the things, you know, you mentioned, and this is something I've experienced too. So I do want to highlight that for the listeners that when you are on this journey, when you're making changes, yes, there's going to be a lot of friction from other people, which often leads to self-doubt, right?
Oh, you
start doubting yourself. That was one thing I picked up. And I also went through that where I'm like, well, am I crazy? Like, am I crazy? Like, am I really, like, does this make sense? Like, why is everyone, not everyone, but why are so many people resisting this? Why do so many people see something wrong with this? Like, am I missing something? And I think there's one thing that you touched on earlier too, is having this faith in yourself, right? Yeah. And coming back to it and really having that anchor in your life. And sometimes it gets tough, right? You do question the choices you're making. You're like, well, I don't know, like if this is going to actually make work out as I think it would, but that's all normal.
Yeah. And the biggest thing that I want to touch on that is when you're going through that process, and this was one thing that that stuck out to me, like just pounced on me. Mm-hmm. How did I feel when I was around these people?
Yeah.
How did I feel? Did I feel love? Or did I feel resistance? Did I feel myself? Well, I can tell you right now, I wasn't myself because I didn't even know who the hell I was then. So I wasn't myself, but I know who I am now. How do I feel now? How does the version of Shannon that is standing here right today, how would she feel being around these individuals? Well, I'm a totally different person.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need them in my life. I can easily praise and release them with love. I can forgive myself for not wanting to be around them, you know, and I forgive them. And it's, you know, if you look at things like that with love, it's so much easier, mm-hmm. you know, because they were all a part of my life of addiction.
Right.
You know, so do I want to put myself back in that environment? No, I don't. I don't. Do I want my children back in that environment? No, I don't. Yeah. No, no. That was the low vibration Shannon with the addictions. That's what she attracted at that time. Now I'm a totally different state, totally different person, totally higher vibration. You know, so I'm bringing high vibration, loving people into my life, right?
Yeah.
That's got all the goodness towards me, right?
Absolutely.
And the thing I really pay attention to now, there's people are brought into my life for two reasons. Number one, and I'm very, I pay attention to this on a daily basis. Number one, they're either coming to me because I can either help them through all of my teachings that I do, or the universe has sent that individual to me because I need to learn something from them.
Yeah.
And I will pick up on that instantly.
Right.
They could be in my path for 5 minutes, literally.
Yeah.
And I'll pay attention. Hey, why are you here? You know, I can say that to them, but my inner self was like, okay, why are they here?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm very aware of that. Very aware of that. And it also makes me be in the present moment.
Right.
Right. Because how many of us are not in the present moment? We're not.
100%. Yeah. And I think, you know, just to kind of circle back on that one piece, I think people in our past, they come into our lives and some stay, some don't, but they're all there to help us and they do serve a purpose. Right. So, and to your point, you wish them well, you wish them love, but sometimes you can love from far away too.
You can. And my biggest thing too is like, I really hope that they learned something from me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's their choice, whether or not they want to accept that.
Right.
Because that would be a gift.
Yes.
You know, like, because there's gifts
that
we all give each other. Right.
Right.
And you can either accept that gift or not accept that gift.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So hopefully my journey has showed them where they need to learn in that specific area of their life.
Absolutely.
You know, my most favorite saying is, thank you for doing me wrong. I love that phrase. Thank you for doing me wrong. Because that showed me what I like and what I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a gift all on its own.
It is. And it's all about perspective, right? We lose sight of that because we're like, oh, he or she wronged me and blah, 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 blah. But it's like, well, no, if you look at it, it's an opportunity.
Yeah.
Now you know, like you said, what you can tolerate, what you can't, what you want in your life, what you don't want. And you know, we were talking about the people we allow into our lives or we keep in our lives. I think for me, the way I also look at it is like, are they bringing me closer to my purpose? Or are they pushing me away? And that's how I decide, right? So for me, I also look at it like, you know, are they someone I can help and assist? And are they truly willing to take that help? Or are they just checking a box saying, well, I am talking to this guy because that's what I should be doing? It's like, no, if you're not going in and perhaps doing something about what we're talking about, then I'll remove myself because then my energy and time can be invested in someone else that could be taking something out of it, right? I have to be very mindful of that. And just like you said, I think people that can come into my life and teach me, but then I also look at a third category for myself is, can me and this other person co-create something?
Yes.
Like for me, conversation is very important because the way I look at life is like, I have an answer and then someone else has their answer, but together we can get closer to the answer, right? And it's that co-creation through discourse, through conversation, which is why I enjoy doing this podcast, because we've lost our ability to have healthy discourse with people. We often try to gravitate towards people we know that will agree with us, but you're not learning in those conversations. It's the people that oppose your beliefs, your thoughts, your opinions that you can learn from. And we shy away from that.
But co-creation can only happen if both parties are willing to take inspired action.
Yes. Yes.
And that's the biggest thing. And like, you know, you and I are the same. And so what do? We attract people of all the same levels, right? You know, that's why I talk with people all over the world. And a lot of my good friends now, like I communicate with Zoo.
Yeah.
As we all take inspired action, we are all paying attention to our, you know, inner intuition. We've all got that awareness. We're all on that same level. And that's why we're here. We're here to teach others, right? To
increase
their vibration, to become awareness and all of that. Because you and I, we could talk a whole weekend. You know what I mean? But we're on the same level of things. Absolutely. For sure.
Yeah. And then there's another element that you've touched on, and I know it's part of your message as well, is this divine power you referred to earlier. When you're trying to go on this path, or when you said, you know, when you're in stillness, you get that wisdom or voice coming in. What does that mean for you, and how has that impacted your life?
Oh, geez. You know, because I am open and willing to learn. And the biggest thing with me too is I know where I want to go. I actually see Shannon Mondor's end result. Mm-hmm. You know, like I work on a daily basis becoming that individual, being embodying that individual, because I know that I will be a motivational public speaker. There's no question.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my goals that I work on every single day. And just how I speak to people, just by podcast, just how I interact with people as well. Like, people gravitate towards me as well, because that's of all the energy that I'm putting out there as well too, right? But I'm so open to receive. I'm so open to learn. And I'm just like, universe, just guide me. Just tell me where I need to go next. And I always go by the feelings that I have within. I know how to separate my mind from my being. It's two totally different things, and I understand that, you know. And that's like my inner being is my guidance, and I can feel it. You can feel it once you know the difference, right? There's no confusion. It's like, no, this is so meant to be. You know, people will come into my life, I'll be talking about something or whatever it is, or I've set an intention out there. Geez, next thing you know, somebody is zooming me or whatever, and then they're talking about this specific thing. Well, okay, so that's I'm being divinely guided, you know, because I have so much faith and I have so much trust. But that's because I know who I am now, because I've gone through all of this crap my entire life. And I look at, like I said, I look at it as a gift now, and I can see things from totally different perspectives as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived it. I've seen the contrast. Now I can pick and choose.
Yeah.
Right? You have to experience all these different things to know what you like and what you don't like.
Absolutely.
And then once you know what you don't like, then you can conform to what you do like. And you're just going to gravitate to it. That's what people don't understand. They stay so focused on what they don't like. Well, you get what you focus on the most.
Yeah.
I choose not to focus on my past or what happened, you know, or who I was, or, you know, all the blame, or, you know, all of that. No. I embrace that as a gift now. And I focus on the positivity in life, and I know where I'm going, and I know what I'm doing. And, you know, I know my end goal, and I'm working towards it every single day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my purpose is to help people. And I know that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, what you're referring to earlier, there's that inner voice that we tend to shut down because of our past experiences and some of the traumas we go through. And it's almost like, I've said this before on this podcast too, we put a veil or many layers of veils on that voice, the soul. And it, part of life and healing is unveiling it slowly and then starting to become familiar with that voice again and listening to it and acting on it, because that inner guidance and wisdom that we have is so powerful. And when you're not in alignment with that, and I've experienced this personally, so I can speak to it, is your body will shout at you and it'll be pain, it'll be injuries. Like, I've had everything, headaches, you name it. And because now I've been able to go through that process of healing and really become in tune with it, I realize that when my body's reacting, when it sent me a message, it's like, hey, this doesn't feel right. You're headed in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Another thing too that I want to really express to the listeners too is when you are experiencing fear, there is growth in fear. That is your soul telling you, you got to do this, because your growth is on the other side of that. So whenever fear pops up in me and I just think, oh my God, I know I got to do it.
Yeah.
I have to do it. Right. And as you know, now, then that's my intuition, you know, that's my soul telling me, Shannon, you got to do this. And it's like, now it's like, okay, you know what? It's like, damn it. Okay. I'm going to do it. You know, and that's what makes you stronger and stronger and stronger. Right.
Absolutely.
If fear stops you, you just stay in there. You're not growing at all. You're just staying in that rut.
Right.
And people get too comfortable with that. Like, look at how many people live in this hamster wheel of life. Day in, day out, Monday to Friday, going to work. Weekends, binge drink, whatever, hanging out with the same people. Wake up Monday morning, feel like shit, do the same thing over and over and over. Wow, I couldn't imagine my life like that. There's just no way. There's just no way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but people are comfortable because they don't want to go out of that box, right? Fear. Anything different, fear pops in. Oh, no, you know what? I'm going to stay here. This is my comfort zone.
Yeah. And
they really truly believe that they're growing. They truly believe that they're growing, but they've been doing the same thing for 30 years, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think the only thing growing is the body, right? It's growing old. Right.
Like, so, old, no words.
Yeah. But I mean, I think, you know, what we've talked about, we've had that experience ourselves and we recognize how hard it is, and you know, it is a gift, like we talked about, to be able to go through that journey and have compassion for others. And hopefully, you know, when you experience what's on the other side, you want everyone to get a taste of it, right? And once you get that taste, it's hard to go back, because you know how peaceful and joyful life is,
right? And to have that drive, to feel that drive, because how many people don't know what that drive is, or they did it one time? And just us having this conversation about that, you know, these individuals with the hamster life, those people are going to be listening to this and they're like, oh my God, that's me. That's the self-awareness within them. And they're like, oh my God, okay, you know what? That's the life I'm leading. Mm-hmm. Maybe I will take Shannon's advice. Mm-hmm. If something scares me to, you know, go for it. That's why we're here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, give these people little nudges.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's also being honest with yourself, because there are, like, there's always things that we can improve on, right? Like, there are things I've written down. I'm like, okay, going into 2024, I'm going to work on these things. But I'm also being honest with myself that right now I'm not ready to make those changes, because, yeah, there is fear, there is comfort. But I know it's something I need to work on, and I've given myself some time, and there is this aspect of self-compassion. But if I were deluding myself or projecting it onto others and deceiving myself, then I'm hurting myself even more. But that honesty with yourself is crucial as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. This is Shannon, awesome.
Thank you so much. I would like to say, you know, you said you want to be a motivational speaker. You already are.
Well, yeah. You know what? I am. My end result, you know what I mean? Like, it was so funny because I had a vision, but probably about 4 or 5 years ago now. And it was so funny because I didn't realize that was actually the divine showing me my path. And, you know, I look back now and I have totally been divinely guided to that vision that I had. And it's just like, it's so overwhelming because I'm there and it's just amazing and it's wonderful and it's beautiful. You know, I just did some public speaking in Toronto and I was asked to be a key speaker there and, you know, more and more it's coming. And, you know, for me to be doing a TED talk in Las Vegas and, you know, everything's just come into full force fruition for me. And that was because I had the belief and faith in myself and yeah. I was willing to accept and to receive, you know, I was open. My heart was open. And I never would be here right now if it wasn't for all of the things that happened in my past. And you have to embrace those first, right? And that's, yeah.
Well, I think there's something to be said about that experience too, right? Because then you're able to help others navigate through that, right? And based on what you're saying, like, it reminds me of a Rumi saying that I'll just paraphrase. It's something like, once you step on the path appears. So that's kind of what has happened for you. So it's amazing and amazing journey. Thank you so much for sharing your story, being so open and honest and vulnerable. I know that's what you aspire to do, but still it's a gift, like you said earlier when we first started recording. But this was also a gift for me. So thank you so much. And is there anything else you want to remind the listeners or share with the listeners that we didn't cover? Please feel free to add.
Well, my biggest saying is, and I actually named my business after it, it's called Fulfillment in Faith. And if you have faith within yourself, you will have fulfillment in absolutely every area of your life. And I truly believe this 100%. And I am, you know, living proof of it because I believe so much in myself and I have faith within myself. The amazing things that have happened that have come into fruition within my life in such a short amount of time. And I just want everybody to know that you can have whatever you want. Just have that faith and belief in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful. How can people find you and get a hold of you? I know you've got the presence on social media. Please share.
So I'm on Instagram and also Facebook, and it's Shannon Mondor. Or you can go onto my website, and that's shannonmondor.com. And you can contact me through that. You can even order my book off Amazon. It's called How in the Hell Did I Get Here? Forever Changing the Genetic Blueprint. And that is a story. It's so real and raw. It's an easy read. And that's how you can get a hold of me. You can also look me up on my podcast, Fulfillment in Faith, and that's on every podcast platform out there. But yeah, just reach out, you know, either through email and everything is on my website. It's all there. Take a look at my programs that are available and it's all good.
Awesome. I will put all of that in the show notes, but thank you again. And this was a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. It was an absolute honor for me. So thank you very much.
Thank you for checking out this episode with Shannon. As always, please leave a review or a comment in the comment section. I always love hearing from you. And if you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube, that's the best and easiest way to support this podcast. Thank you again, and until next week.